I'm going to be starting with Proverbs 31. I'm going to read actually verses 28 to 31. Today's scripture verse is actually verse 30. This is speaking of the godly mother. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. That is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. Please pray with me. Gracious Father, we thank you for this day, this Lord's Day, another Resurrection Sunday. Father, what a joy and privilege it is to gather with your people, to study your word, to reflect on your goodness towards us, and one of your best gifts to us, our mothers. We thank you, Father, for each and every one of us has a mother, and for those who are privileged to have children, what a blessing that is. We pray, Father, that as we look into your word, that you would inspire us to and remind us that you're sovereign over all the affairs of life and that you care for us. You know us by name and you will hold us fast. And we thank you for that. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. I don't know if you've heard of this lady. Her name is Ava Pennington. She spent 20 years in corporate America in human resources, and she reviewed countless job descriptions for her company. She pondered, what would a job description for a mother look like? And so she came up with the list. It was everything she thought of, and it would include at least the following. So if you're a mother, see if these apply to you. Financial planner, entertainer, hairstylist, handyman, hostess, housekeeper, janitor, juggler, manager, nanny, cook, nutritionist, healthcare professional, nurse or doctor, paramedic, party planner, photographer, referee, secretary, spiritual advisor, storyteller, teacher, waitress, dishwasher, zookeeper. Well, those are probably some of the things. And in terms of compensation, let's start with the hours. Hours, it's 24/7. There's no off season until they graduate or become independent and stop asking you for money. No, I don't know. Compensation. Well, you get the occasional thank yous and hugs. Bonus, a periodic heartfelt kiss on the cheek or a spontaneous, I love you, mommy. That's what you have to live off of. Or just a cute smile that says, I appreciate you. Anyone want to apply for that position? It's a tough job. All kidding aside, happy Mother's Day to everyone. You are blessed if you have fond memories for this day. If you're able to spend time with your mother, don't forget to thank the Lord for that, because it's not something we can take for granted, right? For others, today may be a bittersweet day. Maybe it's joy with a mixture of sadness because you miss the presence of your mother. For still others, today may be a complicated day filled with mixed emotions. For some moms, it's hard because for whatever reason, they can't be with their kids today. The Bible never encourages us to mask our emotions. We who are alive, we've got to embrace whatever emotions we happen to be feeling and lay them all at the feet of our Lord. In the end, we're all sinners. So there's no one who's perfect. There's no perfect moms. There's no perfect children. There's no perfect environment. We all have to make do with whatever circumstances we find ourselves in. We all do need God's mercy and God's grace, however. But I thought today we've been grinding through a really tough portion of the Gospel of Matthew. Last week we talked about carrying the cross, and it's necessary and it's true. But I thought we would take a step back on the occasion of this Mother's Day. I just, as I was studying, I thought we should do something a little different. I thought, let's celebrate the godly examples of faithful mothers in the Word of God. Strikingly, I will tell you, I find this quite fascinating, but in the Bible, there's actually many more examples of godly mothers than godly fathers. We have a Heavenly Father, but you look carefully through the Word of God, there's not a lot of great examples of good fathers. So that tells you something, doesn't it? It tells us how fallen we are. So if you have your note sheet, so we're actually going to have a little contest for you competitive people out there. But I'm actually going to make it, so the real competition is among women only. The men, you can participate and will. You know, your results don't count ultimately, okay? So this is mainly for the women, and I guess if any men want to help their mothers or their wives, then I'm okay with that. But we're going to do this closed book. I usually want you guys to open your Bibles, but we're going to just, for today, just kind of see what you can remember off the top of your head. Okay? So on the sheet, just write 1 through 10. I think everyone can do that, right? If you need help, we might do a class afterwards. But just write 1 through 10. And all you have to do is write in there the name of the mother from the Bible. So I'm going to give you some clues, and then we're going to trust that you will be fair in how you do this, okay? So the first godly mother, here are some descriptions of this godly mother. Her husband was the laughingstock of the community. He was forecasting a significant rainstorm and flooding when nothing of the sort had ever happened ever before. He spent all of the family resources building a big boat in the middle of dry land. Yet she remained steadfastly by his side. She raised three godly sons and helped to ensure that they married good women, because only those deemed worthy would be allowed to get on the boat. Overnight, she had to learn to be a zookeeper, literally, helping to maintain order in very crowded conditions. Who was she? Please write down your answers. Go to the next slide, Brad, and don't hit the tab until I tell you. Who was she? Okay, I heard Mrs. Noah hit the tab. Noah's wife, her name is not listed. There's a lot of speculation, but in the Word of God, her name's not listed. Just Noah's wife. So, but I can guarantee you God knows her name. And she didn't get a name written in the Word of God, but she played a very important role. She was the faithful wife of Noah, the mother of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And her family had the awesome task of repopulating the entire earth. So we all come from Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And of course, God's salvation would come through Japheth. But Genesis 6 through 10 is where you can read about her story. Just try to imagine what she had to do. I mean, we all remember Noah, but right behind Noah was his wife. And she had a very significant role. If she wasn't there, Noah would have struggled mightily. Okay, we're on to number 2. Let's see how you're doing. So, anyway, if you wrote either Mrs. Noah or Noah's wife, then you got that right. Okay, if you made up a name, then you got it wrong. Okay, just letting you know. All right, here's the second godly mother. After living with all her relatives and her husband for the first 65 years of her life, her husband abruptly told her that he received a message from God telling them to go west. That was about it. No map, just go west, young man. Or actually, he was not a young man. He was 75. So go west, old man, was the message. So without hesitation, she dutifully followed her husband, leaving everything behind and leading a nomadic existence. She would never own a condo or a house, but she would live the rest of her days in tents. When famine hit the land, the husband decided that it would be best to go down south to a country where they have rivers. But he got a little intimidated by the powerful people of that land. So she reluctantly went along with her husband's scheme to say, just tell him we're siblings, okay? Which technically was true. She went along with it. Amazingly, the king of the land took notice of her. She must have been a good-looking 65-year-old woman. The king wanted to add her to his harem. And her bright husband had no plan. Thankfully, the God who originally called them intervened and came to that king in a dream and said, "You touch that woman, you're dead." And to her surprise, she was able to go scot-free, and they became rich. The king gave them a lot of money to appease their god, but they kicked them out of the land. She had to deal with the social stigma of being barren. That was a disgraceful thing in that time. She got tired of waiting, so she hatched a plan. She would give her maiden, her handmaiden, to her husband. But that turned out to be a disaster because her handmaiden started dissing her when she got pregnant, disrespecting her. But in spite of all that, at the ripe young age of 89, she got pregnant. I don't know how some of you women would feel about being pregnant at 89. It's hard to conceive. She was so delighted. She named her beautiful son Laughter. Oh, what joy he brought her. Who was she? Sarah. Her original name was Sarai, which means princess. Then God gave her a new name, Sarah, which means princess. Wait, what do you mean? The first form, Sarai, is generic. It means princess. But Sarah means the princess. She is the princess of all the godly. If Abraham is the father of all the faithful, she is the matriarch of all the faithful. So what a godly woman she was. You can read her story in Genesis 12 to 23. Okay, godly mother number three. Let's see how you do with this. When a stranger came to the well that she normally went to and asked for a drink of water, she, with the great spirit of hospitality, said, "Sure, I'll give you a drink and let me water all your camels." You know, camels can drink a lot of water. So this girl was running back and forth, filling the troughs of water so that the camels could drink until they were filled. Little did she know that she was an answer to a lot of prayer. She bravely left everything she knew. She didn't see a video. She didn't see any financial papers. She didn't have any contract. She just had the testimony of this servant. And she said, "I'm going." She left everything that she knew in order to become the wife of God's patriarch, or chosen patriarch. When her husband became passive in his old age, this woman was convicted that God's prophetic word must be upheld, that the younger would be greater than the older of her twins. Though her actions went too far, her intentions were good. This woman took the lead rather than her husband, in encouraging her son to go back to her home country and get a wife from her family, from her brother's house. Who was she? She was Rebecca. Rebecca. She did everything in her power to support God's prophetic word that Jacob would be greater than Esau. Her story can be found in Genesis 24 to 27. Okay, we're on to number four. Godly mother number four. On what should have been her sister's wedding night, her wicked father, under the cover of darkness and under the cover of getting Jacob a little tipsy and celebrating the wedding banquet, abruptly threw her into Jacob's tent, into what should have been her brother-in-law. What a humiliating experience that must have been. Hard to fathom. Understandably, When the husband woke up in the morning, he was shocked to find not that he had the girl of his desires, but her sister. She had to endure several more days of this celebration that her now husband was not into. But to make everything look proper in the public eye, she had to go through with it, the charade. So they went along until a week later he could marry the girl of his desires, her little sister. She was unloved. Actually, the word is, it's kind of hard to believe, the word is hated. Her husband actually hated her. Probably because every time he looked at her, he could only think of her father. Imagine having to live with that. But God saw. It says God saw that she was unloved. And so what did he do? He graciously opened up her womb. And in quick succession, 4 sons in a row. Just incredible. God's favor. And she thought, surely my husband will respect me now. I've given him 4 sons. I think we can all relate. It doesn't quite work that way, does it? But she tried. She wouldn't be appreciated until almost the end of her life. Who was she? Princess Leia, the sister of Luke Skywalker. No. Leia. Sometimes we don't realize what these women had to go through. But you know, she was actually responsible for 8 of the 12 tribes of Israel. 6 of her own kids and 2 by her handmaiden. Not only that, from her came the line of Judah, where King David and our Lord Jesus would come from. And from her line would come Levi. And guess who came from that line? Moses and Aaron. Leah, the unloved, the hated wife. But you know, and you can read her story in Genesis 29 to 49. When Leah died, she was the one buried in the tomb of Abraham. She didn't get much appreciation until the end of her life. So she's in the tomb with Abraham and Sarah, Isaac and Rebecca, and it's Jacob and Leah. And you can visit that tomb today in the city of Hebron in the West Bank of Israel. All right, godly mother number 5. So we have 10. We're almost halfway there. She was born in a land where her people were slaves of a powerful nation for over 350 years. It's a long time. The evil king of the land came to dread her people and actually made a law. If a baby male is born, you're to throw him in the river and let him drown. Who makes laws like that? But this woman feared God, even though she was a slave. When she saw her baby, she could tell right away that this was no ordinary baby. Of course, every mother thinks their baby is the most extraordinary, right? But definitely she saw something, and her heart just went towards this little baby. At the risk of her own life, she hid the baby for 3 months. But we all know little kids, as they grow, they get louder, they get harder to control. And so she had to do something. What could she do? She had little means. It's amazing how creative some mothers can be when it comes to their kids, isn't it? So she prayed to the Lord, but she didn't just pray, she also took action. You need both. You need to pray. You need to take action. So she got a basket, and with whatever material she could find, she made it as waterproof as she possibly could. Then she said a final prayer and put her little baby in the basket and placed it strategically amongst the reeds of the riverbank. It wasn't random. She kind of knew that the king's daughter sometimes went to take a bath there. So she thought, this is my only hope. She told her firstborn daughter, just hang around and keep an eye on things. See what happens. But to her amazement, literally the one person in the whole country that could have violated the king's order, the king's daughter. I mean, think about that. Only the king's daughter could have gone to the king and said, please, daddy, can I keep the baby? It's so cute. It's just a baby. That's how God works. And amazingly, due to this wonderful plan, the sister was right there when the princess picked up the baby, and she said, do you need someone to nurse that baby? I know somebody. And then she got paid to nurse her own baby. Isn't God good? Who was she? You have to have the name in this case to get this one right. It's a very common American name. Jacobet. If you got, you can't say Moses' mother. So you have to say Jacobet, because this is in the, you actually have to work at this one. Okay? So that's godly mother number 5. Let's go to godly mother number 6. By trade, this woman was a prostitute. That's a tough start. She lived on a well-fortified city on the plain. She heard persistent rumors about these people that their God led them out of the most powerful country in the region through mighty miracles. And somehow her heart knew this is the one true God. When spies came running into her place, she risked everything to hide them. Everything. The word got out. Someone saw the spies going into her establishment. Somehow the king even found out. So the king demanded that she release these spies to her. She made the very difficult decision to lie to the king and to commit treason against her people. Ever think about what kind of decision that was? Such was the conviction of her heart. But when the city officials came and the police came and the investigators came, they couldn't find him. For saving their lives, the spies agreed not only to save this woman, but her entire family, so long as they stayed together in one room. Who was this godly mother? She was Rahab. She married Solomon, a man from the tribe of Judah, and she raised the godly Boaz, who was King David's great-great-grandfather. You can read her story in Joshua 2. And she's in the genealogy of Christ our Lord in Matthew. Pretty amazing, huh? Godly mother number 7. This woman married and bore her husband 2 sons. But alas, times were difficult in the country because there was famine. They barely had enough to survive. Her husband decided to disobey God's command and move to a country of people that God had rejected. I don't know if he prayed about it, but he told his wife, "We're moving to a country that God doesn't want us to mix with." Isn't it funny how whenever we make decisions, we always think the decision's going to be better, don't we? We never think the decision could be worse. But that's what happened. Because after they moved, not only her husband, but both of her sons died. Now, if you lived in that time and that society, a woman that had no husband and no sons, they were destitute. They had nothing. No defender, no provider. There's no safety net. So she gathered her 2 daughter-in-laws and encouraged them to go back to their families because she could do nothing to help them. She had no means. She was a poor widow with no husband, no sons, no bank account, nothing. She prayed for them. "May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead," meaning their husbands, "and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest, each of you, and may you find new husbands who can take care of you." And they all wept together, the 3 of them. Both the daughter-in-law said, "We will go with you, we will go with you." But this woman said, "No, go back to your families. I can't help you. I've got nothing." One did choose to leave, but the other one refused, for she saw the reflection of God's goodness in this poor widow's life. Despite her unfortunate circumstances and her poverty, this daughter-in-law clung desperately to her, saying, "Do not urge me to leave you or to turn from you, for wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people, your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried." Then she took a solemn oath and she said, "May the Lord do so to me and more also if anything but death parts me from you." Who was this godly mother? Naomi. Naomi, what an impact she had on this Moabitess. You can read her story in the book of Ruth. In the rebellious times of the judges of Israel, when every man turned away from God and did whatever they saw was fit in their own eyes, kind of sounds like our day, doesn't it? This woman, Ruth, was a shining example of the type of loyal love that God's people should have shown the God of heaven and earth. A Moabitess. God can use a Moabitess. He can use us. By Ruth's faithfulness and obedience to her mother-in-law, she found a godly kinsman redeemer in Boaz, who was much older. And Boaz was impressed not by her looks, but her godly character. And the fact that she was a Moabitess didn't bother him at all. He praised her for her character and not seeking out a younger man. You know, that got me thinking. Why did Boaz never get married? Because, I mean, you read about him. He's a godly man. It was unusual for a person like Boaz not to be married. I think the answer is simple. Because Boaz was the son of a foreign prostitute. My daughter can't marry into that family. Come on, God used her, but she's a prostitute. And so God put the son of a prostitute together with the Moabitess, and from them came the line of Christ. Okay, so if God can use a prostitute and a foreigner, he can use you and me. Ruth became the great-great-grandmother of King David. Only God can do something like that. Godly woman number 8. Out of the darkness of the period of the judges, this broken-hearted, childless woman reflected the barrenness of Israel. She took her agony to the high priest of Israel and vowed to dedicate her baby to God if he would enable her to become pregnant. God graciously answered her prayer, and after weaning her precious boy, she brought him to the high priest for service to the Lord for the rest of the boy's life. She then exulted and praised the God of Israel. Who is this godly mother? Hannah, the mother of the prophet Samuel. That's meaningful to me. You can read her story in 1 and 2 Samuel and read her prayer in 1 Samuel 2. That prayer is one of the longest recorded prayers in all the Bible. Think about that. What a godly mother she was. Every year she would come and bring him some clothes as he got a little bit older. Godly woman number 9, a teenage girl who was engaged to be married, was visited by an angel of the Lord who said to her, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. Do not be afraid, for you have found favor with God." The angel told her that she would conceive a child and that he would be called the Son of the Most High God. She asked incredulously, "How can this be, for I am a virgin?" The angel explained to her that she would conceive a son by the Holy Spirit. The child would be known as the Son of God. We kind of skip over this, but how did the girl respond? How would you respond if some angel came to you and said, "I have good news, you're pregnant by the Holy Spirit"? time out. Can we talk about this? She said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." She was a godly woman, godly mother. It's kind of sad. You know, the Catholics took it too far and made her a god, little g. But I think Protestants, in reaction to Catholics, they don't give Mary enough credit. She is to be praised. She did a marvelous thing. Mary, the mother of Jesus. And Jesus loved Mary. Even as he was dying on the cross, he told John, "You take care of my mother." He commanded him. She was a special lady. Finally, godly mother number 10. This woman was raised by a godly mother, but through the circumstances of life, she wound up marrying a Gentile, a Greek man, which she probably was looked down by her peers for marrying a Gentile. Nevertheless, she raised her son in the ways of the God of Israel, teaching her son the important elements of Torah, the first five books of the Bible, Old Testament, the books of Moses, and the prophets, the Old Testament. Then she lived out her sincere faith as an example to her son. When her son met the great apostle to the Gentiles, they became bonded in friendship and developed a father-son spiritual relationship. Who was this godly woman? This one's a little tricky. Her name is Eunice, and her mother's name is Lois. You can read Paul's comments about them in 1 Timothy 1:5. Eunice was the mother of Timothy, and Timothy was the Apostle Paul's most trusted protege. And you realize the Apostle Paul's last written letter was to Timothy, 2 Timothy. Okay, so let's tally up the results. For just the ladies, okay, if you had 5 correct answers, raise your hand. At least 5. Keep it up. Okay, 6. Oh, still 7. Eight. 9. Whoa. Oh, there's 2 hands. 9. 10. Wow. Good job, Janice. In spite of Leo's help, you got 10, huh? I'm just kidding. All right. Janice Kwok got 10 out of 10. All right. Hopefully you were inspired by the stories of these godly women who are actually very ordinary. They're just doing what they were called to do, taking care of their kids and living out their lives. And God's the one that made a difference. And I'll repeat Proverbs 31:30. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your words. Lord, these godly women that we've studied, they were just ordinary people living out their lives, loving you and loving their husbands and loving their children. And you made all the difference. Father, this life can be such a struggle, full of heartache and disappointment. Help us not to look to the things of this world that are vain and passing away, but help us to look to you, the author and perfecter of our faith. We thank you for this time, and we thank you for all the mothers represented in this room. I pray a special blessing to them and those who are on Zoom, that they might know that you will use all their efforts. Sometimes it takes a long time for the fruit to develop, but nothing we do for the Lord is in vain. And we thank you for that. For Christ's sake, I pray. Amen.